Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity. Peculiarity. Irregularity. Inconsistency. Incongruity. A rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, and today I have with me Meds from Waffle On.
Hello, hello, people of Anomaly World.
We have a special episode today. How long ago was it, Meds? About five, 6 months ago?
Yeah.
We wrote a script for Necropolis Studios to help them out, and it was a kind of a blend of science fiction and horror. That's where Meds came in, because he's really good at horror.
Yeah, drafted in to do the blood bits. Can't be bad.
Yeah, we worked together to do a science fiction spin on it. So anyway, we're going to play that after we talk a little bit about what we were going for with the script and what the process was. First, let me say that Necropolis Studios produced the entire script. We just wrote it. They have kind of an ongoing series. It's like Twilight Zone.
Yeah, they did. They have, do they have three different series going on there? They've got Call Me Jack, which is a thing about Jack the Ripper. I think there's another one they do. And then these
Age of Zombies.
That's it. I just, which you was in, of course. You screamed well in that production. Good screaming there.
I didn't scream. I had the part where I just, died.
Just
that was it. Yeah. Omega Road was it's a series of stories, and they're all standalone. And Meds and I wrote one episode for that series.
Yeah.
It was the first one that aired. So.
And I think it was 8 months ago it came out. It was February it came out.
Did it? Okay.
Yeah. But I think we actually started writing it in the November, I think. I'm sure it was a good 3 months beforehand
that we
actually started. I mean, of course, we've slept and had children since then. Well, not both of us together, obviously.
Separately. Separately, yes. It's available on iTunes, that's for sure. But if you go to Necropolis Studio prod.com, you should see the Omega Roads Chronicle anthology up there. And they have another episode that was just released called The Withered Leaves of Autumn, but ours was the first, and it's called Two White Doves.
Hmm.
So,
as was the first, let's make that clear.
Well, let's kind of talk a little bit about the story.
Mm.
It takes place in the future, and we don't say what planet it's on, but there are airships involved moving across vast seas. So who knows? It could be here, it could be somewhere else. But all the characters have a chip implanted in their brains. And the hierarchy, the people who have all the power, the highfalutin nobles, they are programmed minimally. They experience pleasure through their chips. So it's kind of like a drug for them. Mm. But all the low people in this universe, their chips are programmed to allow them certain abilities. So, like, we have one character who's a painter. She's been programmed to do that. And her husband is an actor. And he's been programmed to be an actor and nothing else. And then you have various other people with, occupations like investigators and whatnot. And then we also have an android in this episode that we wrote. And what was his name?
Yurik.
That's right. Yeah, Examiner Yurik.
He should have the series on his own.
He's more human than they are. And he's like kind of a dying breed. They had the androids first, and then they phased those out, and they started programming people to do the tasks that the androids would do, which is where our main characters come in.
That is a classic influence of Star Trek, Star Trek, but sci-fi in general. I mean, if you look at Data in TNG, he's, well, apart from Law, the only one of his kind around. And the funny thing is he wants to be human, but he has an emotional chip which can make him human. You have Crichton in Red Dwarf, who is the only one of his kind, because they all get replaced by robots who look more robotic because the humans can't cope with androids who look like themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that when we look at it, there's a classic sci-fi influence there, I think, for his character. And yeah. the fact that all the other people, in essence, are just sheep, the lower classes. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, I mean, you've got all the nobles who have enjoyment chips. All they do is hedonism, you know, quaffing champagne, eating, you know, croissants, whilst the others are doing a trade. When you actually think about it, I'd probably prefer to have a chip where I actually learned to do something, where I was skilled in something, instead of just the only chip you have is to enjoy yourself.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot to think about that in the story, I think, when you look deep into it.
Yeah, it also kind of sounds communist.
Oh, God, yeah, there's definite political.
These people don't have any choices on what they do for a living. They're kind of assigned a task. Mm. And in this story, there's kind of an uprising. Or an underground that's fighting the establishment. So that comes into play in the story.
There you go. In your face, communists.
It was kind of a fun experiment for Meds and I, and it has sparked other writing projects since then. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to work with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome to work with. I mean, it was you who came up with the idea and got in touch with me about doing it, and that was quite a nice surprise. I think, was this the first time we actually wrote a long piece in using Google Documents? I know we did a little bit on RPG, but this was the mm-hmm. first full thing which we wrote, and it ended up being quite a long script, I seem to remember.
Oh yeah, and it was the first script I'd ever written, you know, because when we wrote for the RPG, it was in story form, and this is the first time I ever had written anything that had somebody's name next to it, and then they say something, and then there's a description of the sound and the setting, and
yeah, I think that was another reason why I came in to do the blood guts and the script writing. So it's quite a nice thing to do. Oh great, I just come in, format stuff slightly, and then take people's eyes out and stick paintbrushes in. Well, let's not spoil it for anybody who hasn't listened, but yes. Brushes go somewhere, and
well, it was funny, because I'd be like, okay, Meds, take over, describe that scene.
Yeah, you really don't like doing gore and violent scenes, do you?
Oh, I could do it, but you can do it like no one else. you can just go the extra mile in describing the sound of the squish and.
See, all those years of growing up with early soundtrack Doctor Who records, I don't know if I should admit this on air, but what the hell. I used to have a BBC record, an LP. Do people remember LPs? And it was the BBC stereophonic sound effects for horror and sci-fi. Actually, it was mainly just horror, and it had people's heads being chopped off, eyes being gouged out, fingers being snapped in half. This kind of, you know, child entertainment stuff, and it was brilliant because it explained how you do the sound effects. So it was almost like a Foley artist's description of how you go about it, and I used to love it. And I actually taped this record onto a tape deck so I could have it on my Walkman. Everyone else was listening to Queen, rock. Music, Depeche Mode, and me—I had tapes of TV themes and sound effects of people's heads being squished. don't know what that says about me.
And I was watching the Muppets back then. So.
Well, come on, the Muppets is just as violent. I mean, that's Chef constantly chasing the chicken, Beaker, true. You know who, yeah. and Beaker's mate, the Doctor, who has no eyes, just sunglasses with eyes in them. That's not right.
That's the extent of my ability to write horror, is Muppet version horror.
you were a perfectly good, slightly gory scene in Little Bit of Trouble with a bloke being hit in the testicles. I mean, come on, that brings tears to an end.
Muppet version. Since you brought up a Little Bit of Trouble, Glenn Hallstrom plays the examiner, the android, and he plays Papa in A Little Bit of Trouble.
When we wrote the script, we wrote parts.
Mm-hmm. Ourselves.
For ourselves, because like Nora, who's the main female, you wrote that for yourself to do, which I think is important. That's what writers do. I mean, you always say, and we wrote Yurik with me in mind to doing it, who's slightly dark, sarcastic, and has a British accent. And when it came to casting, obviously, and you got to appreciate Necropolis have their own actors and stuff to do it. And I was thinking, I haven't got the part of Yurik. I wonder who's got it. And when I heard Glenn do it, before he had the sound effect, I'll point out, I thought his voice was just the most amazing, deep, almost baritone-y vocal range. I was thinking, you know what, he's doing it better than what I could have done. That man is just brilliant. But I think, we're using him again, aren't we, as well, for our other one, our other job.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Do we want to talk about that one?
We can mention, no, we'll just say something's coming soon. Because we best not put time limits on it.
Yeah, that's true. We'll never get it out, and everyone will be upset with us.
Exactly, but more coming soon, listeners.
Definitely. And then you played a character in the script.
Yeah,
Autark.
Yeah, the Autark, the guy in charge, the almost like he's like an emperor, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. It was a bit like I saw him almost like Caesar-ish, which is ironic considering what happened to him on stage. But and I think I do background voices as well. I do a few screams and gurgles and laughter and all that kind of stuff. But yes, yeah, so it was a bit of thesping on my part. Rubbish thespian, mind I will admit, because I didn't like the way I did it. But what the hell? Anything to get the name on the credits, eh?
Right.
Ego involved on my part there. No. writers, we don't get enough credit as it is, you know. We should go on strike. In fact, we've been on strike for a while. We'll say that.
We have. That's funny.
It'd be good to listen to it actually again. So I'm quite looking forward to listening to this episode of Anomaly.
Yeah, me too. It's been a while since I listened to it. I think the second time I listen to it, I'll hear even more in the background, because I've described this before, I think, in my interview with Danny Papine about the Star Wars audio drama that he did, that Meds and I were lucky enough to play parts in. That was fun. But there's a process to making audio dramas that's pretty complicated, you know, for podcasting, because all these actors are all over the world. They're not in the same room doing these scenes together. They can't work off of each other. So if someone reacts strongly to a scene, the next person isn't going to hear that reaction. So it's a guess, or it's the director prodding them to up the energy of their lines to match, you know, the other actors. And then, you know, mixing it in with sound effects and music, and then putting all of the voices together in sequence. It takes a lot of work. Meds and I know from experience.
I think it's, as you say, because the people who are playing the parts are not in the same room, not in the same studio. So even though sometimes when you hear audio dramas, the person is reading it and then actually with the person they're playing off, you've still got the same studio equipment. So you've still got the same ambience in the room. And obviously people will be using different programs. Some will be using Audacity. Some people will be using Adobe Audition or any other software. And they're always going to slightly differ, especially in volume. And I've noticed doing the work on what we're working on, some people will send me something and it's slightly, there's a little bit of distortion, and somebody will send one that's perfectly clear. And that takes a long time to do. It really does. And I remember Rick, our friend Rick Moyer, saying when both me and you worked on Christmas Carolled, that when I did my voice, because it was in the summertime and I recorded, so, I mean, the room where I'm sitting in at the moment gets so hot, it's ridiculous. But, I mean, this is England, so, you know, anything above freezing is hot and good for us. I had the window slightly open, but I didn't realize how good these microphones are, and they picked up slight traffic noise in the background. So Rick then had to put the sound effects of like an open fire going on, a little bit of wind in the background to cover up that sound.
Yeah.
And it's stuff you don't think about. You really don't. And it really is. I mean, hats off to people, especially like is it Dave at Necropolis?
Dave Frizzell.
Dave and Danny as well for Star Wars in the Shadows. They produced, you know, ultimately, when you hear it, you think, how do you do that? I mean, especially as well with Star Wars in the Shadows. I mean, that to me almost sounded like a Big Finish production. And I don't think you can get any better than Big Finish productions. They're audio dramas. And it's like, that raises the bar up. But again, you know, people do this. It's an amateur thing, and people do it for passion. And it's
exactly
to credit it, really.
Right, it's a hobby. And a lot of times the people that are doing them, they don't have any experience in audio production. There's a learning curve associated with doing all these things, because you can't go on Amazon.com and buy a book on making audio dramas for podcasts. You know, you just kind of just wing it and learn as you go. At least that's been my experience in doing Star Trek Boldly, because I produced all that by myself.
Yeah, and you did an awesome job. I mean, you use Adobe Audition, don't you?
Yes.
See, that scares me. That scares me. I look at it and I'm just thinking, there's a lots of wavy lines, all different colours. I've got a bend the left arm up for it to work. What? What's that mean? I don't know. So I do all my work on Audacity 1.3, and I have Adobe Audition, and I keep looking, thinking somewhere along I'm going to have to start using it properly. You know, maybe for Waffle On, I think I'll cut my teeth on it. But I think I have to help you.
I can help you. One of these days, you'll have to Skype me, and I'll walk you through it.
You know that you'll be pulling your hair out, and you'll be shouting at Dave saying, "Get him off! He's killing me." Because I'm technology-wise, I'm rubbish. I really am. I just want things to work. I haven't got the patience for anything else. My wife is a tech wife. You'll have to tell her, and she.
So basically, what we're saying is that it just takes work. It takes time to do these kind of things, and everyone's different. And so, you know, like we said, we didn't produce this particular drama, but hats off to Dave for all the work that he did on it and brought our story to life.
Mm. So let us know what you think on the forums.
Yeah, on the Anomaly forums.
On the Anomaly forums.
Or you can email us at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. Do you think you'll ever play this on Anomaly? I mean, on Waffle On?
I might put it on as a special, yeah. I think I might, because we're changing the format of Waffle On from January. So I might put it at Christmas, actually. Christmas would be good. Yeah, it's a good Christmas story.
It's a Christmas story, yeah. That's usually what happens at the theater here in the States. You know, Christmas time, they release, like, these horrible slasher films and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's because everyone's in such a Christmas cheer. The one thing you're looking forward to. Actually, they do that over here on Christmas Day. You know, we have your standard Christmas films like White Christmas, which I don't actually think is a fun Christmas film. Or you have like It's a Wonderful Life or a couple. Mm-hmm. I think one day we even had four versions of A Christmas Carol on, which is because I love it anyway. But then they'll go and put like Halloween 6 on or Death Wish. You know, and you think, well, I don't think Charles Bronson was wishing people happy Christmas when he shot them in the head. But, hey, one to their own. So, yeah, I might put it out at Christmas, actually.
Without further ado, here's Omega Road Chronicles Episode 1, Two White Doves, written by Simon Meddings and Jen Rhodes.
Necropolis Studio Productions presents The Omega Road Chronicles. Episode 1, Two White Doves. Written by Jen Rhodes and Simon Meddings. Directed and produced by Dave Frizzell. You are about to embark on a journey. A journey reaching deep into the splinter of your mind's eye. A glimpse of a future. A future that could become your own.
Mother! Father!
No, please, not my children. No! You can't!
Please, reconsider.
You could choose someone else's children.
Stand back while we do what's required.
Please, you must comply. Stand back.
You...
Murderers! You killed my babies.
They'll no longer matter to you after we blot your memories.
You will not remember that your daughters even existed.
Shush, come on, shush. Noah, I know it's difficult, but we must act as though the mind blot is effective. If you continue to weep, they'll suspect an implant malfunction. We cannot allow them to bring us in for maintenance. If they do, there'll be no justice for Kala and Korra. Things like this will continue to happen if the Resistance dies.
I know.
Nola 202, Jorin 596, return to your domicile.
Yes. I am cold, Joran. Why are we outdoors? Can we go back inside?
Yes. Here, take my coat. Thank you, officers. Come, Nola.
They were two white doves, as pure and as free as the tears that fell the day their brief lives ended. To the High Order, our daughters were simply a commodity, as are all the people it oppresses. The Supreme Governor, or Altark as he is called, has labeled people like us sheep, not doves. Sheep reside under the foot of the aristocracy, and until recently, Duran and I have mindlessly followed their every whim. Sheep are assigned occupations at birth. At age 7, we are fitted with implants which are periodically upgraded with data relevant to specific jobs. I have the great honor of creating works of art for high society. Duran's programming made him a puppet, a bard, entertaining the privileged on autopilot. We were meant to serve the elite before we were freed by the Resistance Force, known as the Shepherds. Duran now calls himself a student of liberty, and our occupations serve as camouflage while we work to free the rest of our flock. But we failed to save our own children. The constabulary came in the middle of the night to appropriate one of our 5-year-old daughters. No more than a single child may be kept by sheep. All additional offspring are to be reassigned at age 5 by virtue of the Altarg's mandate. We knew it was coming, and we had made plans to flee, but the wolves arrived early, and instead of one child, they took them both. It was then that our precious stuff flew away. When Kala was murdered, Korra's connection to her twin was not severed, and her spirit followed her sister to ultimate freedom. I, however, remain bound to this world. Ironically, it's not the device embedded in my head that it enslaved me. The implant can no longer govern my actions. It was deactivated by the Shepherds 7 years ago. No. I am bound myself. I am fettered to Hades through the fires of my indignation. It is said that hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. That is true. But fury cannot begin to describe the inferno roiling within me. For I am not only a woman. I am a mother. And the High Order crossed me when they murdered my children. Justice in this world has lied dormant for far too long.
And beautiful conclusion to my equally miserable existence. May this gesture set you free.
Ibexo, no! Oh,
no! No! No!
She did.
Beautiful. What a beautiful work of art.
She had a knife. I saw her cut out her eyes. Look at all these people. She gutted them all.
Calm yourself. You're ruining the mood. Go back to recreation mode and blot this scene from your memory.
Yes. Yes, you're right. There's no other way to forget what I've seen.
What happened?
Her implant must have malfunctioned. It's the only thing I can think of that would trigger such a violent action. I've never heard of anything like this happening before.
My lords and ladies, please return to the festivities. Please return your implants to recreation mode.
Oh.
Contact the examiner.
Are you certain? Are there no other detectives on board?
Yes. Be quiet. Someone may overhear you.
But sir, the implications of...
This is beyond us. Granted, he is a bit unpopular, but our options are limited. He is already aboard. Bring him here.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me, please. Let me through, please. Please stand back. All of you mindless tyrants, get out of my way.
This way, examiner.
Thank you, officer. I'm examiner 05913-2-4.608, but you can call me Yurik. Or examiner. On second thought, I prefer you simply call me examiner Yurik. Who are you?
Officer 3, I am in charge of airship's security.
And a fine bloody job you're doing, 3. Ah, this must be the murder in question. Such a shame. I suppose she was once attractive. It's difficult to tell now that her face is nauseating. Isn't it, 3?
Yes, sir.
Well, I suppose I should get to work. Would you mind ensuring that these witless party animals keep it down while I record my notes?
You are an artificial being, capable of recording what you hear through your auditory receptors. Surely you are able to filter out any ambient sounds.
Let me guess, Lee. You've been researching historic data on the brook. Well, you shouldn't believe everything these people upload to the implant stream. To answer your question, yes, I can. But it's the principle of the matter. What if your kind is dead? I know you bio-drones care nothing for the sanctity of life. There should be some degree of respect shown for the inoperative, however minor. No matter how young or reverend you people happen to be.
She was not one of my kind. She was a member of the aristocracy, and they do not know the meaning of respect for anyone, much less the dead. They only know self-indulgence. Besides, their implants are in recreation mode. Even if I wanted to sober them up, none of us drones have the ability to access their programming in order to do so.
Fine, then. Keep them back if you can. They're invading my personal space.
You obsolete, cheap imitation.
Careful. My antiquated ears are very sensitive, Three. And they're recording.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, please, step back calmly, calmly.
Watch your step, Three. Large pools of blood tend to make ballroom floors rather slick. Open report Beta 1. Examiner 05913-2-4.608. The murderer is a female of indeterminable age. She is only a rather messy 7-inch carving made in her left hand. Obvious trauma to the face. Left eye has been plucked out. The eyelid is also gone. Only half of the right eye is missing. Ah, there's the other half. Sloppy glob in her right hand. Remains of the back choroid and sclera are visible. Face has severe cuts below each of the eye sockets. An autopsy will determine whether an implant malfunction is to blame. Five on the body surrounding the immediate area, all were disemboweled. The air is rather thick with the mingled aromas of blood, bile, vomit, wine, and heavily spiced gourmet food. That observation isn't necessary for my investigation, but I thought it would help paint a picture of the crime scene, where the pantyhose status pushers, who at this very moment are no doubt listening to the sound of my enthralling voice. Hello. Thank you, Three. These are the inoperative, the dead, delivered to my lab. Oh. I guess I need one of those. Not the corpses, I seem to have a plethora. I mean the lab. The space should be generous, nothing too flashy, mind you. I plan to be messy.
Yeah. I will have one assigned right away, sir.
Well, that went poorly. Luckily, the audience was too high on implant stimulants to notice the actor who couldn't remember his lines. Since the day my implants were disabled, I've had to memorize my roles. Ironically, that hasn't been a problem until now. Witnessing that horrifying scene in the ballroom earlier has thrown me off balance. I don't know how to handle what I saw, Nola.
It doesn't matter now. You have another show in 3 days. Concentrate on that.
What about you? You've been so quiet. So many deaths have followed us. Over how many weeks?
2.
2 weeks? Nola, the implants are meant to prohibit things like this from occurring. The base program alters the subject's mood at the slightest hint of depression. It has to be an implant failure that is causing all this violence. There's no way it would happen otherwise. It controls every aspect of our lives.
Yes, they do.
Ordinarily, I wouldn't care one iota for the aristocracy. Their implants don't make them subservient. They merely provide them with benefits. But after seeing what happened earlier, Nola, I think we should free them from the implants too. I can't erase the scene from my mind.
No, you can't, can you? Your implant is deactivated. Come, let's go somewhere quiet. We'll be passing over the island soon. They're so beautiful, Duran. We can go over your lines later.
I have a feeling your next performance will be the one that the critics will rave about for years to come.
What about your painting? Didn't you have a portrait sitting scheduled with the Autarch's fifth consort?
Yes. I'm going to their suites tomorrow morning to finish it.
Well, then we're free for the evening. I know just the spot to observe the islands as we glide over them. Look at the view, Nola. I can smell the sweet aroma of the tropical flowers from here. Which isle is that?
I can't locate the distinctive cliff faces. It's difficult to see from above, but I believe it's Carmassol.
Pigeons? Here? You know, they resemble the birds in your painting of the fifth consort. They look just like the white pigeons perched on each of her shoulders.
They are doves, my love.
We used to call Kala and Cora doves. Oh, don't cry, Nola. I'm sorry I even mentioned it. Shoo! Come on! Shoo!
I'm going back to our cabin. We shouldn't forget why we're aboard, Duran. The Resistance needs liberated sheep. The sheep needs.
Nola! Nola, I'm sorry! Wait, Nola!
File Beta 2 Examiner 05913-2-4. You know who I am, you candy-ass eavesdroppers. Urbanic continue report, merged with files 0506 and 07. My findings conclude that the following cases are linked. Each of the inoperatives were of high status within the aristocracy. Case Alpha 1, named Lady Thola Gelson, female 54 years old, discovered face down in her suite, cause of system failure asphyxiation. As impossible as it may sound, it is my consensus that she choked herself with her own hands. Alpha 2, Lord Alec Newell, male 62 years old, cause of system failure drowning. Discovered at the airship's aquatic center. Alpha 3, Lady Sheena Tolan, female 35 years old, cause of system failure, severe brain trauma. Conclusion? Except those individuals butchered in the ballroom by Lady Tolan, it is obvious now that all victims were terminated by their own hand. A thorough inspection of their implants has revealed an anomalous algorithm. I'm uploading a protected copy to you candy asses at station control. End report.
I don't have all day.
Yes, forgive me, my lady. This won't take long.
Begin your painting now, you groveling snit. I don't have time to wait. The holiday will end when we reach Shafran, and I intend to celebrate every minute until then.
Of course. I understand. Your time is precious. The portrait the Altart commissioned is nearly complete.
Your programmed abilities better be superb. The Altart does not like failure. He tends to eliminate deficient lackeys.
I am certain the Supreme Governor will be most pleased with this painting, and so will you, my lady. I think we need a bit of fresh air. I hope you don't mind that I've opened the window, my lady. My lady, may I ask you a question? Do you remember the child you requisitioned 2 years ago? She was 5 years old the day she was to be delivered to you. She had a twin sister. They would have been 7 today, had they lived.
No.
They were my children, my lady. My children. Your wolves took them from me. They murdered Kala, the girl you would make an aristocrat. And her sister died the moment after her twin drew her final breath.
Sheep are sometimes sacrificed.
So are cows.
My death is a pure and beautiful conclusion to my equally miserable existence.
I came up with that without the aid of a poet's programming. Do you like it? I thought it sounded lyrical, and at the same time, very poignant. I believe this is my masterpiece, my lady. I would be honored if you add the final stroke. Give me your hand. There's no use struggling. Open your fingers. Take the paintbrush, woman. There you go. Make sure you don't fail in this task. We know how the Aldark dislikes failure. Now say the words you hear echoing in your mind, and do what you know you must follow.
May this gesture set you free.
I'm growing tired of red. I'm more of the gray type. Look at this mess. You seem to have the habit of being the first officer to arrive, Three. You with your massive feet had better not disturb the crime scene.
Nothing has been moved, sir. The victim is the wife of the Autarch. She was found 30 minutes ago.
I know who she is. Has the Supreme Governor been informed?
Not yet, sir.
As my lot, I suppose, fair comrades. Well, get to it, and make sure I'm not disturbed. Filed log record. Crime scene, console suite. Near the door, a large easel sits with a canvas painting of the victim resting on it. Very nice. Perspective is unique, and the composition is curious. The main subject is the fifth console. Two prickly doves, they must be squabs, are resting on each of the woman's shoulders. If I'm not mistaken, they are white imperial fantail doves, but the use of color is interesting. A wash of red that I believe is blood. Yes, I believe the artist continued to paint as the fifth console splattered her own blood throughout the room. I particularly admire the broad painterly strokes. Very aggressive. On the floor, apart from the blood and paint, are blood-soaked feathers. The body's intact. That's a pleasant change. There's obvious damage to the right side of the inoperative's head. Eyes have bulged slightly, and blood has pooled from the flowing eye sockets and nose. Judging by the position of the paintbrush in the air, ouch. I deduce that the simple wooden implement is the weapon of choice. Officer? Officer!
Sir?
Was the fifth consort an artist?
No, sir. The servants say a well-known painter, Nola 202, was commissioned to make the portrait, but none of them have seen her for 2 days.
Then why, Officer 3, is the canvas still wet? Oh, and this delicate shade of cambium red is actually blood. We'll have to have a sample of that. My program is not tuned to analyze DNA. I am antiquated, as you mentioned before. I suggest you pay Nola 202 a visit.
Sir.
So, Nola 202, what was your motivation for this piece? Come in, and don't touch anything! Who are you? Where is Officer 3?
I've had prior dealings with Nola 202 and...
Prior contact? Did she force a paintbrush into your ear as well?
No, sir. A few years ago, I was sent to confiscate one of her children for reassignment. There was an accident. We had to blot the parents' minds to erase evidence of the incident.
An incident?
The child was a twin. Their psychic connection caused the remaining child to die as well.
Go on.
The twin I was sent to collect had been reassigned to the fifth consort. Would you not agree that it's a bit ironic?
Interesting. You have earned your stars today, haven't you? Oh. What, officer?
Sir, are you all right? Sir! Wait, what are you doing?
Oh.
Let me go!
Officer! My death is a pure and beautiful conclusion to my equally miserable existence. May this gesture set you free.
Stop it! No! Help me! Station Control, I know you're listening. Help me! Your examiner has gone mad!
Get off the examiner.
He tried to kill me. These androids should have been eliminated when they discontinued their production. They're unpredictable. Any anomalous frequencies could have set him off.
Arrest him for the murder of Examiner Urich.
I'm innocent. Believe me, he made me do it.
We have an audiovisual recording of the entire event to prove your involvement, and what we do not learn there, we will discover when we download the data from your implant. I have a feeling he is responsible for the rest of the killings as well. Take him to the holding cells.
I saw someone here. They'll vouch for me. I'm innocent. I'm innocent.
This is Officer 3, or rather Laxton 347. The examiner is inoperative. Officer Zobrin 938 has been arrested at the scene. Find me Agent Nola 202. She's gone rogue. She was probably the one he mentioned seeing here. Officer 9 had nothing to do with this, but we have to minimize the damage Nola has already caused.
Nola, the consort is dead, as is the examiner sent to investigate the crime. What's going on?
How should I know?
You were with her today. Did you notice anything strange? She died, Nola. They'll want to question you.
I have nothing to hide. As far as the constabulary knows, I'm an artist. I am programmed to create pretty pictures. That's it.
Nola, they'll want to download the information from your implant. When they do, they'll know it's been deactivated. Our mission to free the sheep on this vessel will be compromised.
They have arrested an officer at the scene. Don't worry.
Don't worry? They found the fifth consort lying on the floor with one of your paintbrushes buried in her ear.
So, she used what was available to kill herself.
How do you know she killed herself? What's going on? Did you alter the device we were issued to deactivate implants?
Duran, I...
Quickly, through the window. Go. I'll hold them off.
I'm sorry I involved you. I love you.
I love you too. Go. Find somewhere to hide. I'll find you.
A moment, please. I am coming. Can I help you, gentlemen?
We're looking for your wife, Nola. We believe she may have gone rogue. She deactivated her positioning signal. It's failing to transmit. Where is she?
There must be interference from the islands. She's working on a portrait for the fifth consort now.
No, she's not. You're a capable operative. Make sure your assignment objectives are achieved. Your wife may be an artist, but she cannot be allowed to freehand. She's an agent now.
Agents? I didn't know there would be others aboard.
Agent Nola was painting the consort yesterday?
Yes. She said the portrait would be finished soon. Just a few more sittings.
I'm afraid Nola's services will no longer be required.
Why?
The consort died yesterday. Did you not hear?
No. What happened?
It appears the consort killed herself, but we know otherwise. I'm sure you've heard of the strange things that have happened to persons of the High Order recently. Our own plant, Examiner Urick, was decommissioned earlier while investigating the death of the consort. He sent us an anomalous implant algorithm before it was terminated. The signature from that program came from the device issued to Nola for the purpose of your joint mission.
What will happen to her?
Thanks to us, the constabulary now believes he was offed by one of their own. The biodrone in question is the same individual who killed your daughter. Your wife can stop her rampage now. He will be taken care of. He's been framed for all the murders. Call her off.
I'll try.
You cannot fail in this.
I know.
I think we're finished here. Stay on task, Agent Joran. Get your wife back online, or we'll have to reactivate her implant and blot her memory. We can't risk detection.
No, I won't let that happen. I will inform Nola as soon as I see her. Thank you.
Good luck, Joran. Opinions, Agent Wara?
I think we should watch them closer. I have a feeling they're planning something large scale.
Agreed. According to Joran's assignment file, he is performing tomorrow night before the Autarch. Unless the Supreme Governor cancels the festivities, which I doubt, Agent Nola will be in attendance. We should shadow her.
miss you both so much.
So do I.
Nola!
What did they do to you? Did they hurt you?
No, no. There are other shepherds aboard. They question me. They want to talk to you. Nola, they framed the officer responsible for the girls' deaths and pinned him for the murders within the High Order. You can stop now. They are afraid your actions will compromise the mission. You have to stop.
I'm not finished, Joran. The others must pay for their crimes. Especially him.
Nola...
Do you trust me?
Yes, I do.
We will make a stand. Both of us, together. The High Order will know that we are no longer sheep. We won't fail in our mission, Joran. We can accomplish both tasks.
Yes.
Evil men do live on. The good is oft interred with their bones. So let it be with Caesar. The good is oft. The good is oft. The good.
You were good last night, as you so often are.
We have a big day today. All the High Order will be there. Not simply to see me, of course.
But it's you who will have the encore. There will be a standing ovation. I will make sure of it. An ovation for justice. For our lost doves.
For our lost doves.
Tonight our children will have final retribution.
Your Excellency, Your Eminence, my lords and ladies and distinguished guests, good evening. Despite the fifth consort's death, our gracious Autarch, in his infinite wisdom and charity, has decreed that all festivities proceed. On behalf of us all, we thank you, Supreme Governor of all. May the divinity keep the fifth in peaceful slumber, Your Most Excellent Majesty. And now, my lords and ladies, you have a glorious evening ahead of you. Joran 596, Imperial Bard, has been programmed to play Brutus in a splendid performance of Shakespeare's Julius Caesar.
Shakespeare? What is that?
I don't know. It sounds rather tired and ancient. This sheep is going to be boring. I may have to liven things up with my own performance if he fails to entertain.
Why is he alone? Shouldn't there be some sort of cast?
Thank you. You are all so kind.
You blocks!
You stones! You worse than senseless things! Fierce, fiery warriors fought upon the clouds in ranks and squadrons and right form of war, which drizzled blood upon the capital.
Get him off the stage.
O judgment, thou art fled to brutish beasts, and men have lost their reason. Your Majesty? Yes, you. Surely you have the nerve to step upon this stage? Come down. Now.
Leave me. I do not require an escort.
A round of applause for our guest. Nola, if you please.
With pleasure, my dear. You took from us, Your Majesty. Now, we take from you.
Agent Mora to Agent Laxton. Sir, we are in place. I am awaiting your orders.
Stand down, Wara. Let's see where this goes.
Caesar, the Ides of March are come.
My death is a pure and beautiful conclusion to my equally miserable existence. May this gesture set you free.
Clap, sheep.
No!
I believe you all know your lines.
My death is a pure and beautiful conclusion.
My death is a pure and beautiful conclusion. My equally miserable existence.
May this gesture set you free.
My death is a pure and beautiful
conclusion. Now do what you know must follow.
I've been unable to locate them.
2,000 deaths all by their own hands. Incredible, really?
Yes. Their actions allowed us to free all the sheep aboard the airship. I suppose we've won a great victory. All due to Nola and Joran, of course. I've ordered a planet-wide search for them. They have to be detained. We were fortunate our cover wasn't blown this time, but I doubt our luck will hold.
I think Nola and Joran accomplished their goal. I don't believe we will see them again.
You're probably right, sir. By the way, congratulations on your promotion. Should I call you Examiner Laxton?
No, I have plans to turn the offer down. I believe Uruk is salvageable. There's so much more we must do before we're truly free of the High Order. They'll have another Autark in power before long. We must strike before they regain strength. But first, we have footage to destroy. What did the visual recorders document?
The Great Dome coming down, and white.
Doves flying away. Poetic. If a bit saccharine, but that's Nola.
There were two white doves. As pure and as free as the tears that fell that day their brief lives ended. The High Order crossed me when they murdered my children. But justice is no longer dormant, and we are no longer enslaved.
Enslaved. Being enslaved in a world of classes where technology is used to control the populace, where laws and justice are decided by the ruling party. Enslaved by the consent of the people, for the people. Those who leave their voices silent and those who fight to be heard both find themselves traveling down the Omega Road. You've been listening to the Omega Road Chronicles. Episode 1, Two White Doves. Featuring the voice talents of Jonathan Cook as Joran, Constance Howard as Nola, Madeline Bratton as Child 1 and Child 2, Glenn Hallstrom as Examiner Murek, Christina Lamb as the Fifth Consort, Monty Bratton as Zachron, Officer 2, Bruce Busby as Laxton, Officer 3, Jen Harvey as Warren, Officer 4, Tanya Miolovich as Lauren, Officer 6, Julie Hoverson as Lady Sheena Tolan, Gwendolyn Jensen Woodard as Person in the Crowd 1, David Frizzell III as Person in the Crowd 2, Mark Kalita as The Announcer, Dave Frizzell as Audience Number 1, Bill Hallweg as Audience Number 2, Simon Meddings as The Autark, and Edison Punklub as The Narrator. Music by Kevin MacLeod, Human Response, Kiev Chamber Choir, David Modica, Lara St. John, Ensemble Mirac, Hans Christian. Copyright 2009, Dave Frizzell and Necropolis Studio Productions.
Podcasting is hard work. Know what makes it worthwhile? Your emails, voicemails, blog comments, and iTunes ratings. Show us you want more Anomaly by giving us a little hug in the form of feedback. It just takes a few minutes of your time, while recording and editing can take hours, days, weeks, and sometimes months, depending on whether we have to re-record. So give us a little nudge of encouragement. Let us know you're listening. Anomaly is a monthly podcast. To stay up to date with show-related news and scheduling, please join the Anomaly forums. You can find a link on our website, or you can go there directly at anomalypodcast.freeforums.org. And while you're at it, subscribe to the Anomaly blog. There, a team of talented writers keep our listeners entertained and informed with articles related to games, books, movies, and general geeky observations in between our Anomaly episodes. Find a link to our blog and other useful bits of information on the Anomaly Podcast website. That's anomalypodcast.com. Call our Google voicemail line. It's free to anyone calling from a continental U.S. landline using the widgets on our blog and website. Anomaly is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 license.
Between the shadows of thought and the light of reality lies a place long forgotten. One where hope is lost, a discovery of despair, and an appetite for unpredictable horror. It's not a place where you can lock the windows and doors, but a place where you come face to face with the fears and nightmares of your mind. You are about to embark on a journey. A journey reaching deep into the splinter of your mind's eye. You are not in control. We will bend and twist all your perceived thoughts to an unimaginable depth with things only our minds can conceive of as you travel down the last path to take, the Omega Road.
The Omega Road Chronicles, a sci-fi horror anthology brought to you by Necropolis Studio Productions. Find us on the web at at www.necropolisstudioprod.com.
So, by keeping us here, you're using us as bait to draw the Nereza in? You have strange ideas on how to make friends. On this planet, that kind of behavior will get you locked away. Maybe that might be the smart thing right now. Lock up the lot of you. This is our planet, you know. At least by staying here and making a stand, our sacrifice has meaning. While the Nereza are focused on us, my brother is making his way to Eden. If he can deliver the cargo he carries, he will almost certainly turn the tide, and the small number of humans left might have a chance. We are giving our lives so that the human race might yet survive. Surely even one as selfish as you can see the nobility in that. My head hurts, Sarah. I don't know how to live in something this small. Can you sing for me? Our baby? What on earth is that? How did you get in here? This area is completely sealed off from the likes of you. I studied...
Well, you didn't study very well then, did you? Oh, yes. You may have tapped away into your computers and drawn your mathematical symbols on your chalkboards. You have figured out how to turn our bodies into dust. But you know what you really should have worked out? How to stop me.
There is nothing left to do but for you and Father to return to your world. Nature will take its course from there.
Humans and Nereza, if you force us to choose... No, we can only choose one.
The Martians Are Here podcast, episodes 25 through 29. Starting the 25th of October.
So, Ghost infected Frank. He passed it on to the other guys, and I got it from his corpse?
Right.
Hello, Echo. How are you feeling?
Did I fall asleep?
For a little while.
Previously on Heroes.
You had to go and be the detective, didn't you, Matt?
I'm not an aggressive person, but...
Ugh, man, there's just way too much on all these channels.
Things, but only in-game.
Everybody lives, Rose. Just this once! In your dreams, Nutloaf!
Bite my shiny metal hat.
Sometimes I get visions.
Walter, what are you doing?
What you learned?
I wish there was some way to find out what's really worth watching.
There is.
What? Who? What was that?
Tuning into Sci-Fi TV is the viewer's guide to genre television.
Where is that coming from?
With its spoiler-free quick reviews and water cooler and the spoiler-filled in-depth back porch discussions, Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV is the only resource fans need to know what's on, what's good, and what's coming soon in science fiction and fantasy television.
How did you get into my house?
Join Kevin, Wendy, and Brent each week for the latest in genre television.
I'm calling the police.
You can find Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV at tuningintosci-fi-tv.com.
No, seriously. How did you get into my house?
Hi, this is Rick.
And this is Amy, and we are the hosts of Taken With You,
the weekly podcast where we discuss life at the Geeky Moyers home. And then we talk about our faith and how it relates to the world around us. As a matter of fact, we love listening to the Anomaly podcast. It's way cool. Jen and Angela, you guys are just awesome. Or girls, I guess. They're girls, aren't they?
Yeah, and I appreciate geeky girls because I'm a rather geeky girl myself.
I wouldn't be married to you if you weren't.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I love Star Trek and heavy metal music and fun things like that.
I like reading and home and garden TV and quiet things, soft music.
Too bad.
Yeah.
But we do live together, and we have for almost 24 years.
Yep.
We're married.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a chance, come take a listen to our very fun weekly podcast. You can find us on iTunes.
Uh-huh.
And?
And it's at takehimwithyou.com.
Yes, you're doing very well, honey. Keep going.
Okay, that's all it says. You can find us at takehimwithyou.com.
Or you can get us on iTunes as well. So okay. Do that. And thanks again, Jan and Angela, for your great podcast. Hopefully everybody will come check out Take Him With You after that.
Hi, this is Kenny.
And this is Jenny.
We're the host of Knights of the Guild, the official fan podcast for the award-winning web series, The Guild.
We're not like your typical fan podcasts.
Both Jenny and I have worked on several seasons of The Guild and take our listeners behind the scenes to share our fun and crazy times on set.
We also have exclusive interviews with cast, crew, and fans of The Guild.
We keep you up to date on general Guild news and the latest happenings of our cast and crew.
So please give us a listen on iTunes or at knightsoftheguild.com.
The Treks in Sci-Fi Podcast.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Sci-Fi entertainment news and commentary.
I am Locutus of Borg.
Star Trek episode analysis.
Captain of the USS Enterprise.
Pokey religions and ancient weapons.
Collectibles, toy, and prop reviews.
I am to misbehave.
The weekly Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with your host Rico at treksinscifi.com.
Do you ever find yourself humming the Imperial March at work? Do you know the full mantras of both the Sith and Jedi Orders? Do you know all six of the bounty hunters in Empire Strikes Back by name?
Impressive.
Do you know all the lyrics to the Ewok freedom song Yub Nub? Do you believe with a fanatical, unshakable passion that Han shot first? There is a name for fans like you. You are Star Wars Nation. An all-new tri-weekly podcast from solosound.net.
Hello there, my name is Meds.
And this is David Frost.
You're not David Frost.
Alright then, I mean, this is Mark.
And we are the Mark.
Alright, get on with it.
Okay, and we're the presenters of Waffle On Podcast, and we like to talk about
crap
TV broadcast between 1960 to 1999. Would you say it's crap?
Some of it.
Really?
Especially the British stuff. But we've already had a podcast about that, so let's move on from that.
Unbelievable. You can find us at the http://waffleon.podbean.com. Do not smile when I say the word colon.
Oh, I'm not.
Good evening, sci-fi fans. When you're not listening to the Anomaly podcast with those gorgeous girly geeks, Jen and Angela. Oh, Jen, your accent. I love it so much. When you're not listening to it, the Anomaly podcast, then I'd be honoured if you could take a few minutes to check out my little show, Happy Times. if you have an iPod Touch or an iPhone, if you love your applications but are feeling the pinch of the current economic climate, then this is the podcast for you. Each week, I'll review a free or cheap application and spend a few minutes gassing on about why I like it, or not. Buying apps over the air can be addictive and expensive, so why not spend a few minutes a week listening to Appy Times, and I'll try to separate the wheat from the chaff. Just go to appytimes.podbean.com or search the iTunes store for Appy Times. That's APPYTIMES. Come and share Appy Times with me.
This is Jeff from Champ Podcast. After you finish listening to this excellent podcast, I invite you to come listen to ours. My co-host Jason and myself cover open-wheel auto racing, focusing on Formula One and IndyCar. Each podcast, we review the races, we talk about drivers and teams, and all the news and rumors as well. So come give us a go. We can be found at www.champpodcast.com, that's with one P, or in iTunes, search Champ Podcast. Champ Podcast, the world's fastest podcast.
Are you frustrated? Do you download podcast after podcast, trying to find witty, intelligent hosts who very well research their shows and bring you dynamic, intelligent debate with the utmost clarity and decorum? Well, look no further. Actually, you need to look quite a bit further, because we really can't help you with that one.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The Trekkies can be the worst for, like, writing it.
Well, no, actually, I think you'll find it was Ketracel White, and there were 13 Jem'Hadar.
If you like films, computer games, drinking, and ranting, this is the show for you.
Oh, and we've got our fancy mics working.
Yes!
Yes! I'm going to move now. I'm over by the front door.
Ow!
Too far.
Here goes nothing. Never knowingly overproduced. Visit the site at heregoesnothing.podbean.com or find us on iTunes.